Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
And good morning. And I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
It's nice to hear you once again, and thank you so much for sharing your expertise with our listeners on our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get really busy. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call or text. It's just one number to remember, 651-461-9226. Well, we, in some areas, had a little bit of rain. In fact, I heard it falling just a few minutes ago, kind of a little bit of a downpour.
Yep, and I just had thunder boomers overhead at my house. So.
Okay. Yep. I know there are many people who believed in the no mow in May.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Julie may have clarified this. In fact, I think she did clarify it. Julie Wiseman.
I think she did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
That if you have certain clover or dandelions and certain other things that the pollinators love, yeah, don't mow. I don't have
right.
those. I have grass.
Right.
So you're allowed to mow.
You want to mow.
Yeah.
You
and
do
that's,
want to.
And fortunately, yep. that's what I did yesterday in time before the
rain
came.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Denny, all this rain will just help the grass grow faster.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Especially if you fertilize, yeah.
Especially if you fertilize. So you're going to have a job all season long. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right. As my old boss used to say, you asked for work when you came here.
Yep. Good point.
And so if you do, again, if you do have a lawn or garden question, don't wait. Please give us a call or send a text. Speaking of text, let's see here. We've got a bunch already. Let's see. Our yard's low spot, texter says, accumulates snowmelt water and freezes in the winter. Now, the hostas planted there do very well. Are there other plants that you can recommend that do well in those conditions? What do you think?
Sure. If it's a shady area, a lot of your shady plants will do just fine there. Your silbies and things like that will do fine. I would maybe, if you're going to put in coral bells, which are the hookera, maybe not in that area. Those are prone to rot on their crown in the spring if they're in a low-lying area. So keep a watch on your hostas just in case, because they can have that too. But hopefully it's just a fast-draining area. And if it's a sunny area, I wouldn't put things like delphiniums in there because they also can have crown rot very easily in the spring if they stay wet for too long. But that could be a nice area to put those plants if it's shady, like astilbes or ligularias, something like that, because if the snowmelt gathers there, probably rain gathers there too, and it's just a little more damp, and those plants like that dampness in the spring and all summer long. So throw in your astilbes, your ligularias, your ferns, your hostas, you have a beautiful woodland garden.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call from Sherry, who's calling in this morning, I believe, from Maplewood. Thank you, Sherry. What's your question for Teresa?
Well, we have a Empress Wu Hosta at our church.
I'm jealous.
And it was beautiful, but the hailstorm just did a number on it. All the large leaves are off. There's a couple of small ones down at the base. Yeah. What do we do with the stems? Because they look kind of silly without any leaves on them.
Sure. So depending upon, and hail can really mess up a plant. Usually in the early season like we are now, the plant will outgrow that. It will put new leaves on. It will hide those damaged leaves. You can watch those damaged leaves if they start getting all ratty and they look just so bad. You can cut them off, as it sounds like you've done there, Sherry. And otherwise, just, yeah, cut those stems back. So unless you see new growth coming with new leaves coming out of there, otherwise I would cut the stems back and just let her put on a new flush of growth. And if you know hail's coming and you have a beautiful plant like a hosta bed or a beautiful Empress Wu or something like that, if you can just throw something over the plants during that storm. And usually I don't want you to go out there when it's hailing, because that's dangerous for you. I don't want you hitting the head. But if you know in advance, you know, throw a sheet over it, throw a light blanket, put up a shade cloth, even the floating row covers that you might use in the fall for frost protection. Throw that over just to break some of the damage. But understand, we're having a lot of hail these days, and that's going to impact your fruit, the apples that you're getting. It's going to impact a lot of things. So you may see some damage later on that when you ask a master gardener, they'll say that's hail damage. And you'll say, we haven't had hail in the last 2 months, but you're having it now. So, and Empress Wu is a huge hosta. She's just gorgeous. That's why I'm so jealous. So good luck with that, Sherry.
Very good. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. This texture kind of goes back to how we began our conversations, Teresa. It says, we have tall dandelions that went to seed and have not mowed yet this May. What's our next best step?
Your next best step is to go ahead and mow. And the higher you can mow, the better, according to whatever your city limits may be also. But if you can let that grass get up to 5 inches and then mow it back down to 4 or 3.5, that's really beneficial for your grass. Think of the blades of the grass that's all, and then mow it back down to 4 or 3.5. That's really beneficial for your grass. Think of the blades of the grass. That's where all the photosynthesis grows. And you want all those blades to be as long as possible. So you can go ahead and mow down those dandelions. They've fed the bees. They've done that. And this way, too, then your neighbors won't be so upset if the dandelion seeds start flying around. You'll catch it before the seeds fly around. And you won't be spreading the dandelions, unless you want them to spread. Then just let them set their seeds off. If you're in an area where you want them to spread, set the seeds off. But most of the time, it's best just to mow those seed heads down, so you stick with just the plants you have.
This listener said, I have lost numerous established coral bells and hostas this year, and talking to other people from my area, they have had the same issue. Do you know of any reason that would have, what would have caused this?
You know, I would think it could just be that, and I would be patient, because sometimes those things have just been set back by the cold, and they just aren't coming up as fast. But otherwise, I would say, if you can't be patient and you know they're dead, you've dug them up and there's nothing there, or you've dug them up and they're all rotted, then you know you have to replace them. I would put it on the tough year we had last year with drought, and you may have watered, or you may have not watered enough, or you may have watered too much. Or if you have a really wet spring or a really cold and wet spring, that can sometimes set plants back too. But if you can, I would just maybe be patient and just wait to see if any life does start coming up. In the meantime, you can purchase some hostas or divide your other hostas to replace those. But if you can, just wait just a little while longer just to see. My hostas were very slow to emerge this year. But I'm surprised they're out there, because I didn't water at all last year, so they have to be on their own. But I would guess that was the problem that you were having. It's just the weather, and there's not much you can do about the weather.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, Teresa, hang on, please. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to be back with more Smart Garden on CCO. And callers on the line, stay there. We're going to grab your calls when we come back as well. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have some light rain falling in certain parts. You might even hear some thunder yet. Our current official CCO temperature reading 62 degrees. We're heading for a high today near 87, a breezy day. The high tomorrow near 89, Memorial Day Monday near 92. Again, right now, 62 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Denny Long here for my friends. And boy, we love heading to Malmberg's Garden Center. It's like, what do you want to do today? Let's go back to Malmberg's. Malmberg's Garden Center, you've heard that name a long time. I'll tell you when. They've been around and they've been open since 1958, a great CCO land company. Again, two locations in Blaine and in Rogers, Minnesota. Thousands of plants you're going to find there. These are locally grown right there in their greenhouses. If you're in the market for trees or shrubs or annuals, perennials, you name it. And I also like to mention, too, their gardening supplies, tremendous amount of gardening supplies. And you know what else they have? A lot of expert advice in gardening, especially if you are a new gardener. You're going to get some great help as a new gardener getting started with those good folks at Malmberg's Garden Center. Again, if you want to check them out on the web, you can find out more information. Just get on the web, malmbergsinc.com, A-I-N-C, malmbergsinc.com. But check it out yourself. See why so many of us love going to Malmberg's Garden Center. Been around since 1958. Two locations, Blaine and Rogers. On this holiday weekend, we're talking lawns and gardens. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, helping you out either by phone or by text. Here again is that number, 651-461-9226. Teresa, let's grab a phone call or two and then more text messages. I think Dan is calling in from Le Sueur today. Thanks for waiting, Dan. What's your question for Teresa?
Questions concerning daffodils. We planted new bulbs. In the first year, they came up great. Now this year, one little bloom and not much green growth. There's nothing eating them or anything else. They never got above 5-6 inches of green and then very limited. What's going on?
Dan, last year, when they bloomed, did you let the leaves die down naturally?
No, I bet he's listening on the radio, Teresa.
I bet he's listening on the radio. That's fine. So what happens
no.
with our... With,
oh, there he is.
Okay. There he is. Okay. So what happens with our bulbs is they have to photosynthesize. So sometimes we plant our daffodils and our tulips, and we cut the leaves back soon after they finish blooming because we want to tidy up our gardens, or maybe they're in a shady spot. They don't get as much nutrition, as much photosynthesis from the sun as they need, and then they don't have the energy to bloom the following year. Some suggestions you could do now is to fertilize them with a nice bulb. Food would be fine, or even a 10-10-10, whatever you happen to have. That would be wonderful. And then if you can, leave the leaves standing up as long as possible. The ideal thing would be if the leaves can just die down on their own. And hopefully they'll have enough photosynthesis happening this year to put the energy back into the bulb so that next year they'll have the energy to flower. I hope that answers your question. And usually you don't have problems with things eating the daffodils or the bulbs because they are poisonous. Good luck with that, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Texter says, I know it's not ideal, but can I still overseed my lawn?
Sure, you can overseed your lawn. We have some great weather coming up for that, meaning the rains. Go ahead, overseed your lawn, rough up the area a little bit, get as much of the dead stuff out as you can. If you want to just even sprinkle in a little compost and mix that into the soil, put your seeds down, make sure they have good seed-to-soil contact, and then just keep it moist between you and Mother Nature. Remember, if you do overseed your lawn, though, you want to be careful and not not put any fertilizer on that area or anything that would prevent crabgrass, your preventers on that area, because that will stop your grass seed from sprouting too. Sure, it's still cool out there, even though we're supposed to get 90, but for the most part, it's still kind of cool. We're getting to the end of that time, but go ahead and overseed so you don't have those bare patches. Good luck with that.
Back to the phones, Teresa. Kelly is calling in, I believe, this morning from Andover. Thanks, Kelly. What's your question, please?
Good morning, Teresa. I have some questions regarding a chokecherry tree. Lots of seedlings, well, they wouldn't be seedlings, just the natural little seedling things are growing up and kind of overtaking our lawn. Other than managing them by cutting them, is there any other way to, A, remove them, and or, B, can I spade some out and try to transplant them somewhere? And then the second issue with this tree is there is like some thick black growth along many of the branches. I'm afraid of disease of some type.
Kelly, you have some great questions there. Okay, so your chokecherry is suckering, which is what it normally does. That is totally predictable for it. The best thing to do is keep running over everything with your lawnmower and just keep cutting it. Those trees just do that. That's what they do. That is how they propagate themselves in one way, along with seeding and everything else. If you do have some seedlings that are a little further out, you can go ahead and between the seed and the mother tree, just take the seedling and your mother tree or the sucker, just chop way down with your shovel so that you're cutting the root between the mother and the daughter, and then wait like maybe a week and see, did that seedling survive or did that sucker survive? If it did, then go ahead, dig it up and plant it in another plot, in another area, and then you'll have another chokecherry. The disease that you're seeing is called black knot, and you do need to get that out of your tree. It can kill the tree if you leave it on there long enough. So what you want to do is take a good pruner, clean it, sterilize it, and you want to go back at least a foot between that black knot that you see on the tree and the trunk of the tree, at least a foot, and then prune at a proper part near another branch or something. Sterilize your pruner and then make your next cut. And then sterilize your pruner and make your next cut and get all that black knot out of the tree. Try to do it on a day when it's not really humid and maybe we don't expect rain. So it's going to be a little bit drier. Maybe even a little dry wind would be good just to seal everything up and not let that fungus come back. Black knot is really typical on a lot of our Prunus species. So it is something you have to watch for. Good luck with that, Kelly.
All right, very good. You know what? We're up against the clock a little bit. It's almost time to look at that forecast to see what the rest of the holiday and this coming week's weather promises. Frank, you're going to be next in the phone, and we'll grab more text messages as well. We have about another half hour or so to go on the Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back once again with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour answering your lawn and garden questions. And let's see, Teresa. Yep, we have callers as usual and we have texters. So let's put you back to work. And again, I want to mention when we do come back after Frank's call, we'll talk about the Arboretum and the University of Minnesota website, because I wanted to talk about lawn care there, too, among other things. Frank in Roseville has been waiting to ask you a question. Thank you, Frank. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes. Hi, good morning. I've got several different types of trees in my yard, and for some reason, the squirrels are attacking an elm, trying to defoliate it, looks like, and I'm just wondering if they can damage that. I've cleaned up several times already after them.
Frank, thanks for your question. I'm sorry you're having squirrel issues. What the squirrels are doing right now is they're doing a lot of pruning, and they're just kind of clearing the limbs on the tree so that they can run faster and have a clearer area. They're not going to damage your tree at all. So it's okay with the squirrels. It's just what they do. They're gathering things for their nests. They're just and their teeth keep growing all the time, so they gnaw a lot. It's just what squirrels do.
Okay.
So you should be okay, and thanks for waiting to answer, have your call answered, Frank.
It's a squirrel thing. Okay.
It's a squirrel thing, yeah.
All right. My spruce tree, a texter says, the new growth looks crimped and shriveled. What's wrong, do you think?
Oh, that's a new one on me. I'm not sure why the new growth would do that, unless it was damaged as it was coming out by maybe a severe frost or something like that. That the crimping tells me there's something in the environment that happened to it, like a frost, like it was hit by a heavy hailstorm when it was still just before it came out. Something damaged it. You could go online, of course, to extension.umn.edu and do some checking. They should be okay. The needles might look a little weird when they come out. Hopefully everything will straighten out a little bit, and the tree should be just fine. I don't think you're seeing a disease issue or an insect issue. It sounds more like an environmental issue, but I would definitely go online and check out the extension website to see if that comes up with anything else.
I'm glad you brought that up, Teresa. That is such a tremendous research tool and great reading, no matter what the subject matter. And I always like to refer to the, especially those folks that are interested in their lawn care.
Exactly.
A great plan of action there. And if you're looking for plants or and you can get other information too, like what plant is, what diseases, all this great stuff.
It's amazing
It really is. Well, you and your colleagues, certainly you know yourself, Teresa, that our friends like Mary and Teresa and their colleagues.
Mary and Julie.
Julie,
they do a good job working there, yeah. You know, another thing that's nice about the extension website is you can connect to the Ask a Master Gardener page. You can get great landscape information. And also, you know, you may have been growing a lawn for a few years and think you know it, but we're finding new things all the time about how to grow lawns better or new diseases or insects that are coming in. So it's great to check in on that website, especially on rainy days like today or when it's 90 degrees and you don't want to go out and stay in the air conditioning. Check in on the website and see what's going on and see the new stuff that they're finding out all the time. It's just amazing what's on there.
Really is. Great site. Extension.umn.edu. All right, back to the callers and texters. Let's see. Here's a text that says, how should I treat powdery mildew on young nine-bark shrubs?
Well, nine-bark is a wonderful shrub. It has very interesting leaves, can have some really pretty flowers. It can grow in a little bit of shade. Nine-bark is totally prone to powdery mildew. So if it's in an area where it doesn't get a lot of air circulation, or maybe it's a little shadier, or the plant's a little thicker, a little bushier, it's going to get powdery mildew. Now, the best thing to do is to find a plant that might be resistant to it. But if it's going to get powdery mildew, then that's just something you can live with. It's not going to kill the plant, but it does make it unsightly. So what you need to do is understand that if this plant that you have gets powdery mildew every year, you have to think, write down on your calendar, what's the first day you saw powdery mildew? If it hasn't happened yet, then you may want to start treating right now to prevent powdery mildew. Once you see things like powdery mildew and you start spraying for it, you're only playing catch up. You will never get ahead of the disease. You need to stop it before it comes in. So it's those fungal spores are in the air. It just lands on that plant. The same with lilac can get a powdery mildew. Your squash gets powdery mildew in the later season. Some plants are just prone to it, and phlox, and there's a lot of plants that are prone to it. But if you can thin it out a little bit, give good air circulation, make the less stress on the plant and other ways, keep it well watered, fertilize or add some compost if necessary. Those things can all go to help the plant stay strong and not succumb to powdery mildew. Usually it doesn't kill the plant, like I said, it just looks unsightly. So you need to treat before you see it, and you can go to your garden center and find some good treatment options there at your garden center, or go to the extension website and see how to control powdery mildew. Good luck with that one.
Teresa, this listener has a large ash tree, and the question is, how do we treat to protect the tree? How much, how often, and how do we know if it's infected already?
You could have a landscaper look at it, a certified arborist look at the tree, and they can tell you if it's infected. They would see the areas that are flagging where the leaves aren't getting as much nutrition because the borers are already in there stopping the leaves from getting the water and the nutrients that they need. You can also then, that certified arborist could set you up on a program where they would be do the injections into the plant or the soil, whatever they do. There are some on the market things that the owners can do to help prevent that. So I would, first of all, if it's a big tree, it's a big investment, find a certified arborist, have them look at the tree to make sure the tree is as healthy as it can. They'll give you a lot of tips, and then their company may provide some information about how to treat it, or they may provide that service, or you can definitely go back to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look up how to treat for emerald ash borer. That's what you can do. But it usually comes down to using a systemic, which makes the entire tree poisonous to the elms. Poisonous to the ash borers. I misspoke.
Okay. All right. This listener, Teresa, says, what is your recommendation for a hydrangea used for screening?
Oh, this is where we get to talk about the arboretum. Okay. So as soon as you can, get out to the arboretum. Go to their hydrangea test site. You will see what hydrangeas look like when they're growing with not a lot of super care. I mean, they may water them occasionally. I don't even know if they do that there anymore at the arboretum. I think they watered them when they put them in years ago, and that's their test site, and they're just seeing how tough these little babies are. And some of them are beautiful. They'll be big and beautiful. Some will be smaller. But you'll find the one that works right for you. And remember that most hydrangeas like a little shade from the west sun, so they're not really a full sun plant. Some can take a little more sun than others, but they also, a lot of them do great in the shade. But I would definitely head out to the arboretum and see what they look like. Figure out which kind of flowers you like, what colors you like, how tall you want it to be, how wide you want it to be, and then see what they actually look like in real life right out at the arboretum. And that's right out on Highway 5, just past 41.
That's right. 5 and 41, you're almost right there at their front door. I noticed, Teresa, as you probably have, there's a lot of interest now in the Arboretum. I'm seeing more like TV stations, local TV stations picking up on it like it's brand new, and maybe for a lot of people it is. But what a great destination. Check it out yourself. The University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum
It's amazing because it's beautiful. You can get a lot of ideas out there. And, you know, I know everybody wants to get out and travel, but then you see sticker shock when you see the prices for airline tickets or gas. Maybe spend a long weekend going out to the Arboretum twice, get your tickets, go out there, spend some time at the Arboretum, just get out in nature, walk around, hang out with your family. You know, see the different sites. There's so much. They have the bee house out there. They have the farm out there. There's so much to see. It's really amazing.
And you can get something to eat, too. Absolutely.
And you can get something to eat, too. And you can just, if you just want to find a bench and just sit and veg out and read a book, that's okay, too.
What a great surrounding. Yeah. Check out the Arboretum. I know we have to, I'm being signaled here, we need to take a quick break, but we have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in. Same number for either, 651-461-9226. We'll take this break. Be right back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Danny Law here back once again for our friends at Malmberg's Garden Center. Yes, you say, yeah, I've heard that name. I've heard that name for years. Well, I'll tell you exactly how long they've been around. This has been a CCO Land company since 1958. Two locations, and I'll mention it again later. They're in Blaine and in Rogers, Minnesota. What are you going to find there? Like a lot of folks, like me, you're going to find thousands of plants. And by the way, they're locally grown in their greenhouses. You're going to find trees. You're going to find shrubs. If you're in the market for any annuals, certain perennials, and if you need gardening supplies, you're going to find them there at Malmberg's Garden Center. And if you need some help, what do you get there? You get expert advice in gardening. And if you are a new gardener, or maybe you know somebody who is, and they want to help, What do you get there? You get expert advice in gardening. And if you are a new gardener, or maybe you know somebody who is and they want to get started, the folks at Malmberg's Garden Center are really great at helping out those new gardeners. Check them out on the web if you like, malmbergsinc.com, malmbergsinc.com. But better yet, head out there. Again, Malmberg's Garden Center, located in Blaine and in Rogers, Minnesota. Get out there. And you can use that number to ask your lawn and garden questions of Master Gardener Teresa Rooney on this Smart Garden Saturday, holiday weekend. Teresa, we have callers and we have texters. Let's see if we can't do some kind of a lightning round here before we end up running out of time. Keep in mind now, next hour for our listeners, our home improvement show will get underway. So if you have any kind of a home improvement question, save those for next hour for Andy Lindis. Right now, let's grab a phone call. Sharon is calling in from Eden Prairie this morning. Sharon, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Teresa?
Oh, good morning. I'm hoping you can help me. I had quite a large river birch taken down, and I am unable to grind the stump out because of irrigation and other things. Mm-hmm. And dry now, and it's seeping a lot. Now, what's my alternative? Other than drilling in it and putting poison or whatever in there.
You said something was seeping. It cut out. What was happening?
Oh, river birch. So it's seeping.
Yep.
And I wanted to know what my alternative is for being unable to grind the stump out.
Okay, so if I understand it, you had a river birch, took it down. There's still a stump there, and the stump is seeping. There's not much you can do. It's a big root system, and just like maples run sap in the spring, river birch runs sap, and all the water in the roots is going up to that tree that's no longer there. There's not really much you can do. Eventually, those capillaries and everything will close, and the roots will die because there's no information coming back down. But for right now, they're just sending water and nutrition up to the trunk where the branches used to be. So there's not much you can do.
Okay. This texter, Teresa, says, we have moss in many parts of our yard and flower gardens, not just shady areas. Mm-hmm. They want to know what causes this and how do we control or get rid of it.
Okay, so if you don't want the moss, you can pull it up and then just toss it in your compost bin if you want to, or however you wanted to get rid of it. Moss is there because the soil is compacted. There's not a lot of air circulation. It could be wetter or doesn't necessarily have to be. But most of all, the soil is not very rich in organic matter. So what you can do is just bring more organic matter into that soil, and then other plants will outcompete the moss. But the moss is there because other plants just, there's not enough nutrition for them to live. So that's what you can do with moss. So get more air circulation and get some compost or some nutrition into that soil.
This text, Teresa, says, how do you harvest rhubarb and how often?
Okay, so make sure that your rhubarb plant has been in the ground at least 3 years. You want to give it enough time to get that big, huge root system going that it needs. And then to harvest it, you just reach down near the base of the plant for the stem that you're going to harvest and just pull and twist. You never want to cut it. You want to pull and twist, and that will bring it out. Cut off the leaf. You can leave the leaf in the garden. It's a wonderful compost. It will decompose very quickly, and then you just can harvest it. You can harvest 2 or 3 times during the summer. I'd probably start, depending upon how big your plant is and how healthy it is, you may want to stop harvesting by the 4th of July if your plant's not really super robust. If it's more robust, you can harvest a little later, maybe to the middle or end of July, but then stop because you want it to put out new growth, new leaves, so it can get lots of energy back to those roots so it can feed you again next year.
Teresa, you know, once in a while we get questions about using Epsom salts. This listener says, do you ever use Epsom salt on your hosta, and is it good fertilizer for them?
I have never used it. I would not suggest using it. The thing is, it's a salt, so it will build up in our soil. Most of our soils don't need the Epsom and the Epsom is giving us. And also, you never know how much you're putting down. So if you've done a soil test and the soil test tells you to put Epsom salts, which will never happen in Minnesota, they wouldn't suggest that. But it's not regulated. You can't figure out how much you're putting down, so you don't know what it's going to do to the biology of the soil. I would strongly suggest not using Epsom salts in your garden. It's just you don't know how you're going to impact the soil, and you can't judge that.
Okay. A couple of minutes to go on the show, Teresa. Last winter, this texter says, during the really warm days in January, my three-year-old lilacs all started budding out. They only have 2 to 3 flowers on them now. I assume I have to cut them back, but how far?
You don't have to cut them back if you don't want to. If you want to prune them, you can prune them. You would prune them immediately after flowering. You can look at the extension website for regenerative pruning, extension.umn.edu. If they're so big and tall you want to cut them back, you have two options. You can cut them all the way down to the ground. You won't see any flowers for 2 to 3 years. Or you can do a renewal pruning where you pick out a third of them. And usually you do that, you can do that now if you want to, but or right after they bloom, or you can take them out in the early winter, late winter, early spring. You can take out a third of the biggest ones right down to the ground. More will sprout up, and then you'll have more flowers at a lower level. And sometimes when we get those early warm-up times, the buds just come out too early. The plants are as confused as we are with the weather sometimes.
I think we have time for one more question. It's a lawn question. Does it hurt to let the lawn grass or the grass go to seed before mowing?
No, you can let it go to seed if you want to. Just remember, you only want to clip a third of that blade back again, a third of the grass blade back. If you're letting crabgrass go to seed, that's probably not a good thing. But if it's just your fescue or Kentucky blue and going to seed, that's okay.
Okay. Quick one. How much sun can a summer crush hydrangea take?
I'm not 100% sure about that one. I would say it could take easily your east sun, your south sun. Make sure you water it if necessary. Maybe give it a little bit of shade from the west. Just watch those. They have big leaves, hydrangea, hydro water. They may need a lot of water to support those big leaves.
All right, Teresa, in our last minute, let's remind our listeners, first of all, if they have a chance to get to the Arboretum, but you have to make reservations online, right?
You do. You do have to make reservations online. It's very easy to do, so do that. Please do that.
And give us again that University of Minnesota website that's so fabulous.
extension.umn.edu, on the Yard and Garden line, and you'll have wonderful information.
And one thing we didn't talk about is you can find instructions on getting a soil sample tested as well.
Yes, and now is a great time for soil samples. So please get your soil test in, and that'll help set you up for the whole summer.
Excellent. Teresa, thank you for your expertise. Always fun to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Master Gardener.
Everybody take care.
Yes. Have a great rest of the weekend. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney with us. Again, get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis will be joining us next hour here on CCO. We hope to see some clearing skies later today. The highs in the Twin Cities near 87. Right now, 62 on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.